The Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, if you don't like what you hear today, it's not my fault. Because I was here for the brown bag Bible study and no one showed up. So I didn't get any good ideas. Which means I'm just totally winging it now. Got no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. We are born. And then we start to move around. We manage to get up on all fours, which is a good, stable way to be, and we start crawling. But that's too easy. So eventually, we grab something and get up onto 2 feet, and balancing, start moving around. But that's too easy. So at some point, we strap roller skates to our feet and start rolling. But that's too easy. We unstrap the roller skates and get up on a skateboard or skis or anything else that might knock us on our rear end, and we start moving. Somehow we don't like it if something is too easy. There's a little hole over there, and I have a little white ball. And it'd be so easy just to go over and put it in the hole. But that's too easy. So I go 100 meters over here and hit it with a little stick, trying to get it to go into the hole. Isn't that what sport is all about? Taking something simple and making it really, really hard? I oftentimes watch these cyclists I'll see them tearing down the road, and they have on their bicycle pants and their helmet and their carbon fiber bike, and they're sweating away. And they'll ride 30 miles. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to get on a heavy old Schwinn and ride twice around the block? You get the same amount of exercise, but that's too easy. We always want to make things harder. It seems to be in our nature. God creates us. God gives birth to us and sets us in a garden in which there is everything we need. Everything we need for sustenance. But that's too easy. And we want to be like God. We want to be the ones who decide what the rules are going to be. We want to be the ones who know the difference between good and evil. We want to be the ones who run the universe. And so we eat that apple. And of course, things go straight downhill from there. When God came to Abraham, he made him a promise, a gift. I am going to make you a mighty nation. I'm going to give you more children than you know what to do with, and I'm going to give them a good land flowing with milk and honey to live in. And I'm going to give you a set of guidelines. And if you follow them, you will find that you prosper and that the nations want to be like you. And they'll flock to you to learn who this God is, who makes things so easy for you. Well, it doesn't quite work out that way, because somewhere along the line, once again, they decide they want to be the ones in charge. That they think that they could do a better job working out this salvation stuff if they could only make their own rules. And so they decide to become a nation like all the others and start entering into complicated alliances and setting up taxes and taking censuses and doing everything that all the other nations do. And of course, it all crumbles, leading to the exile, leading to slavery again. We always seem to think that we can do a better job. Sometimes I think that's what religion is all about. Trying to set the right rules. Trying to do it our way. The Jews received their Ten Commandments, which were too easy. And so immediately they start adding more to them. We heard today Moses saying, now, you know, don't take anything away and don't add anything. I don't know about taking away, but we sure are good at adding things. Keep the Sabbath. Okay. But if I do this, am I breaking the Sabbath? If I do a little dancing, am I breaking the Sabbath? If I go visit Mary, am I breaking the Sabbath? If I cook dinner, am I breaking the Sabbath? Next thing you know, we have 20,000 rules about whether we are breaking the Sabbath or not. We can't stand just the simplicity of it. The Jews received the law and they thought they had it all figured out. And then when someone like Jesus comes along and starts questioning it, they get angry. Why are you breaking the rules? Then Christians come along and say, no, we got it right. And we make all our own rules. And we get angry when someone doesn't do it our way. I think that was called the Reformation. When all of a sudden we start breaking apart and scattering because we don't like it that other people won't follow our rules. And then you got First Lutheran, and someone doesn't follow the rules, you get Second Lutheran, and Third Lutheran, and Fourth Lutheran, and English Lutheran, and the list goes on. And then Islam comes along. No, we've got it right. And we are the final word. Follow our rules. And all this rule following only seems to divide us and drive us apart from each other. Because the minute you make a rule, you split the world between those who keep the rule and those who don't. And yet, God seems to be, if nothing else, simple. God, out of love, creates all that is. Out of a burning desire to be in relationship, He brings us forth and every living thing. And then He continues to sustain us with that love, even when we don't want to be sustained, even when we don't want to be nourished, even when we break our own rules. God continues to pursue us and to love us. And I love that in Scripture, Jesus Himself seems to be surprised time and again at just how easy it is. When He thinks He's doing it right by living within the Jewish nation, and suddenly discovers the Samaritan woman or the Syrophoenician woman, and discovers that God's kingdom includes them as well, that God's love has extended to them as well. And then those early Christians in Jerusalem being surprised that God's love has reached out to the Gentiles around them as well. But it never seems to come without anger, and it never seems to come without division, because we want to control where the grace of God goes. And so when it unexpectedly goes beyond our boundary, we question the legitimacy of it. The early Jews were angry that these messianic Jews, these Christians, weren't worshiping the way they were or believing the way they were, so they threw them out of the synagogue. Those early Christians got angry when Paul started taking the message to the Gentiles. And they were angry that Paul wasn't requiring them to be circumcised or to keep the Ten Commandments. And we always seem to get angry when it extends a little bit further. Oh, Lordy, what a brouhaha there was when we decided that maybe a woman might have something to say about the gospel. And we let women be ordained. The generation before me thought that was the worst thing in the world. And didn't we get angry again when we decided that maybe homosexuals or lesbians or people who love in a different way than we do might actually know something about the gospel of God. And we let them speak as well. We always get angry when the kingdom of God grows just a little bit further. But the gospel is so, so simple and rule-free. The gospel simply maintains that God so loves the world that God will do anything, even give His own Son, so that the world might be saved, so that we might not die but have eternal life, life in every sense of that word. That is the gospel. It isn't that God so loved the world that, well, if we just believe the right creed, or if we just follow the right social norm, or if we just belong to the right denomination, or are the right sex, or are the right blah, 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 fill in the blank, that we will be given eternal life. In fact, maybe God found the one way to keep us from making a whole bunch of rules. He already did it. It's not up to us. God has already saved the world. The only thing left for us to do is to abandon our rules and give thanks to God. And then be filled with wonder rather than anger when the kingdom of God grows a little bit further, when it includes a few more people, when it extends its boundary just a little bit more than we thought perhaps it should. I don't know what heaven looks like. I don't know, but I pray that that is where I will end up. I suspect, though, the way I'll know that I'm there is by the level of surprise I feel at those around me, at all of those that I would have consigned to hell, are suddenly coming up and welcoming me into God's kingdom. I remember someone saying that maybe that's how Hitler finally makes it into heaven. He gets up there and he gets surrounded by all these Jews who want to hug him. It may not feel like heaven for him, but he'll be there. God's grace is for us and upon us. That is what baptism is about. It's the declaration of that one universal fact that you, before you could make any form of decision, before you could walk upright, before you could change your own diaper, God loved you and saved you and brought you into the kingdom, loving you just the way you are. Amen.